three countries. And exactly thinking in 30 days may cover through all the results that we have in order to make these countries have election and to have a democratic order in their countries.
That was Susie Barbosa, past president of the Minister's Council of the Economic Community of African States, speaking with VOA's Peter Clody. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the main opposition leader says he does not have confidence in the ability of Denis Kadima, the chairman of the Independent Electoral Commission, to administer credible polls. Martin Fayulu, who leads the Engagement for Citizenship and Development Party, is also calling on observers from the international community to boycott the upcoming December elections. The Electoral Commission has a deadline of July 17th for parties to register to take part in the vote, but opposition groups say they won't, a move analysts say will undermine the legitimacy of the polls. Fayulu's remarks come after opposition and civil society groups say the Electoral Commission refused an external audit of the voter list that would be used in the elections. They're calling for dialogue between the Electoral Commission and all stakeholders to ensure the polls are transparent and credible. VOA's Peter Clody spoke to Fayulu about his demand for credible elections.
We cannot let Mr. Kadima and the Electoral Commission to go ahead and commit another electoral fraud because he doesn't want to audit the electoral file by an external body. And we cannot just have a confidence on what he has done. Mr. Kadima is saying that, I have done the audit and it's enough. We told him that that audit, you can consider it as an internal audit. How can you audit a file of 47 million people in 5 days? Okay, now, if you did that, okay, up to you. But let us, with you, choose a body that is recognized as auditors, experts, international experts, and independent, then they will come and sit down, including ourselves. All stakeholders should be there as observer to see what is going on. He doesn't want.
Are the other opposition political parties supporting your stance at the moment? Because next week, July 17th, will be the deadline to register to participate in the December elections.
For me, we will not have an election in this country if we don't have a clean electoral file. I will tell Congolese, don't go to that election because it will be a rigged election, is a prearranged election, but we are requesting for the impartial and credible election, transparent election. That's what we want. We are telling all friends of Congo, all partners, they have to come to help us, and we can sit down together as stakeholders and agree on the rule of the game, what we can do to have a transparent and impartial election.
It looks like the Electoral Commission chairman, CNE chairman, is not listening to your demands. So what's next for you? You are calling on the international community to pressure them. What can the international community do?
No, not only the international community. I'm telling the Congolese people that they cannot accept the first responsibilities lie on the Congolese people. Because our the constitution says in Article 64 that every Congolese has the right and the obligation to stop anyone who wants to take power by force or to exercise power by violating our constitution. I'm telling first to the Congolese people, they cannot consider that the incoming election has a credible election. So they have to refrain themselves to the process, and saying that we are available. We still want a clean process. Like in 2016, when we had the problem, the president of Congo Brazzaville, President Denis Sassou Nguesso, called the bishops, the Congolese bishop, and they went to Brazzaville and they came back and they put all of us together. And the majority of that time and the opposition, we sat down and then we signed an agreement, an accord on December 30th, 2016. We signed that. And
so, Mr. Fayulu, for you, what is the next step forward?
The next step is all international observers, European, American, African, all of them, they have to withdraw to this process to say that there is a lack of confidence, the lack of transparency. And then you Congolese, you have to resolve the issue, your issue, and as the stakeholders, sit down and go for the transparency process and put together the rule of the game, and so you can go ahead. But for the time being, we don't want people to go to tell us that, okay, democracy is a process, is something that you have to grow. But we are not growing in our democracy.
That's DRC main opposition leader Martin Fayulu speaking with my colleague Peter Clody. Government representatives have declined to comment on the opposition's allegations other than to dismiss them as politics. The United States and other embassies in the DRC have reiterated their commitment to supporting the DRC in holding competitive, peaceful, inclusive, and transparent elections. In a joint statement issued last month, they noted concerns regarding technical shortcomings, incidents of official corruption, and the diversion of electoral material. They also acknowledged that CENI and other authorities have responded to those challenges. They urged CENI to act with transparency to address public concerns. You're listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Carol Van Dam, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday Music Spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, in Sierra Leone, the main opposition All People's Congress Party says its elected lawmakers will continue to boycott Parliament until all of its demands are met. The party says it will not participate in the country's governance for the next 6 months before it will make a decision about its next steps forward. Attorney Osman Abdul Timbo, an elected member of Parliament and Deputy National Secretary General of the APC, says the failure of the Electoral Commission to publish the results despite repeated appeals bolsters the party's suspicions that the recent elections were not credible. His remarks come after the U.S. ambassador to Sierra Leone urged the APC not to boycott legislative and local governance. The opposition demands fresh polls, citing voter irregularities and rigging. It also comes after a majority of APC lawmakers refused to attend the induction ceremony to take their oaths of office. For more, VOA's Peter Clody reached attorney Osman Abdul Timbo.
Key amongst these demands is that they conduct a rerun of the elections within 6 months, because we are not satisfied with the election results, and we are not just dissatisfied out of nothing. We believe that the numbers were cooked. We believe that until the disaggregated results per polling stations are published, which they should be able to publish by this time, they should have published by this time, the elections cannot be said to be credible. I don't know if you are aware of the history and demands or complaints right through or leading up to the elections and even during the elections and the tally of the results. We've catalogued all of our demands, we've catalogued all of our complaints since the start of the process, right up to the date the elections, the results were announced.
Well, we had reports that the U.S. ambassador calling on the APC not to boycott governors. Sierra Leone, what is your reaction to?
We're saying, how can you say the voices of those people should be heard when in the first place we believe that the election results don't reflect the voice and the votes of the people? Our people, the people who were representing, don't forget we're only representatives. The people who were representing have told us not to participate. Not one person have I, as an MP-elect, not one person who has called me to talk to me about going or not going to Parliament has reached out to me telling me to go to Parliament. Everyone I've spoken to outside the party's decision, the party's decision aside, has told me not to go to Parliament until agreements are met. The U.S. ambassador said it's for the sake of democracy. Democracy is not just a word. We should be seen to be practicing democracy. We should be seen to be doing what democracy dictates. We don't believe that what the elections that the ECS or the Electoral Commission announced is a true reflection of the democratic will of the people.
What are the two key or major demands by the APC in order to participate in the governance of the country, or so to speak, to allow the voice of the people who voted for you to be heard?
We'll just put all together and just say one. Publish the disaggregated results per polling station. It's only 11,000 polling stations. And like I said this morning in a post that I did on Facebook, we're saying if you announce final results, those results are based on the addition of results per polling stations, and that's what should be. It should be a reflection of the total of those votes on the polling stations. So if you've announced a total result, that means you have the results from the polling stations from which you calculated the total. So it should not take more than a day for you to publish that. But it's over 3 weeks now, and we're still asking for this, and I'm sure international observers as well as local observers have been asking for this, and up till this day, they haven't done that. I'm pretty sure if that is done, then those who are doubting the credibility of this result will be proven right or will be proven wrong. So that's amongst all the demands. To make it very simple, let them publish the disaggregated results per polling station.
What do you say to those who are saying that there are laid down procedures, if you disagree with the outcome of an election, to approach the court to address your concerns?
In the past 5 years, we've expressed a dissatisfaction by going to court. We have boycotted parliamentary sittings. We've had a few grandstandings before. What have we gained from all of those? Nothing. So we've seen that all of that hasn't yielded any good. So we say now we're holding our right to participate based on the instruction from our electorate, the people who voted for us.
So how long do you plan on boycotting parliament or participating in the governance of the country?
Well, in a press release, we demanded that a re-vote be conducted within 6 months, meaning that we don't even mind staying out for 6 months. Until that 6 months expires, then we'll know what our next line of action will be.
That was attorney, APL official, and member of parliament, Osman Abdel Timbo. He was speaking to VOA's Peter Clody. A day after three Libyan oil fields were closed, the oil ministry late Friday called on all parties involved in recent accidents to set energy production and export away from disputes. The oil fields were shut down in protest over the abduction of a former finance minister. The closures will hurt the marketing of Libyan oil and undermine efforts that have been made to stabilize production, according to the ministry statement. Production at Libya's El Feel, Shafrara, and 108 oil fields were closed on Thursday in a protest by the Alzawi tribe, according to a tribal leader. Today in Senegal, Senegalese opposition leader Ousmane Sonko called for a peaceful protest after authorities blocked a planned rally to publicly confirm his nomination as a candidate in upcoming presidential elections. On Thursday, the PASTEF Patriots Party said in a statement that Sonko was unanimously voted in as their candidate for the February 25, 2024 presidential elections. Sonko's nomination comes despite lingering questions over his eligibility due to criminal convictions and prison sentences. The governor of Dakar announced on Thursday the opposition party's nomination rally, initially scheduled for Saturday afternoon in a stadium on the outskirts of the capital, had been banned due to the risk of disturbing public order. Sonko told his supporters another date would be chosen and called for a concert of saucepans, horns, and firecrackers on Saturday evening between 8:30 and 9 p.m. local time to peacefully express disapproval and call for President Macky Sall to leave office in peace. Sonko, who has been confined by security forces at his home in Dakar since May 28, also urged his supporters to wear red in protest. On May 8th, an appeals court gave Sonko a six-month suspended term for slander, although it's unclear whether the sentence, which can also be appealed to the Supreme Court, makes him ineligible. On June 1st, Sonko was also given a two-year sentence following a trial on charges of sexual abuse of a beauty salon worker. Legal analysts and Sonko's own lawyers say his conviction rules him out from being a candidate. A Cameroonian youth-led organization, Local Youth Corner, is working to address violent extremism across the Central African nation through their annual Jamboree, an eight-week-long summer program geared at promoting peace and healthy living. VOA's Mike Hobe has more.
The Jamboree, an initiative pioneered by the youth group in partnership with several international embassies, United Nations organizations, and local agencies, targets thousands of internally displaced persons as beneficiaries and will run through August 30. A statement released during the launch of the second annual Nawiwi Sports Jamboree says the organization uses sports as a tool to build social cohesion, promote peace and healthy living between and among IDPs from the Northwest and Southwest regions and host communities in Cameroon. The executive director of Local Youth Corner, Achaleke Christian Leke, says the Jamboree equips IDPs with the appropriate skills to better address displacement resulting from conflict.
Through the recreational nature of the Jamboree, it is helping to respond to mental health and psychosocial issues that this group of persons are facing because of the realities of either running away from conflict and some of the challenging things that they have experienced.
Mr. Leo, an award-winning Cameroonian musician, IDP, and participant of the first Jamboree, echoes Leke's sentiments.
These people, because of the war, most of them lost everything. So they find themselves in an environment where they can barely cope. And a lot of them are going through depression because of what's happening.
Canada's High Commissioner to Cameroon, Lorraine Anderson, attended the launch of the Sports Jamboree, where she applauded efforts by Cameroonian youth to attain peace and social cohesion.
It's really important to use all mechanisms to support peace and social cohesion. And it's clear that the collaboration, the fun, the communication that's needed for team sports is also needed for social cohesion.
Philip Van Dam, the European Union ambassador to Cameroon and a participant of the games presented by the Local Youth Corner, says lessons taken from the Jamboree should be promoted all year round.
Sports can unite, that regardless of our background, linguistic, ethnic, religious, whatever, we can play together. we can live together, we can work together, we can build a nation together.
Cameroon's northwest and southwest regions have been victim to conflict since 2017 after confrontations began between security forces and separatists who declared an English-speaking state of Ambazonia. The ongoing conflict has resulted in widespread atrocities, the displacement of over 598,000 people, and at least 2 million people in desperate need of humanitarian aid. Challenges the Sports Jamboree looks to address. For VOA Africa, I'm Mike Oves in Washington.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection. We hope you enjoy what we have for you today.
She see me in a Benzo, man drippy in a Gucci and Kenzo. She wants her to me back on the Enzo. Bad man now got up from long way, I cut off the link. She left a message in a DM, must have a fan man from AM to PM. She can't forget about the things that me give. Somebody me tell her, oh Isabella, me and Obi Mandela. You stand up as where you take Angela. Right and know what she has spent my pounds and dollar. Spaghetti, yeah, yeah. Spaghetti, yeah, yeah. Spaghetti, yeah, spaghetti.
Bye.
Was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 1600 and 1800 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hove, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Carol Van Dam in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.